For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
That's right, the drive is live, and we are live here. Buffalo Wild Wings, if you were here with us last week, come and roll to the same spot. We are at Willowbrook Plaza, right on the other side of the highway from Willowbrook Mall. A good time shall be had here. As I said, Clint, we've got two Visa gift cards, $25, as well as a pair of tickets to see the Texans take on the Titans next week, and two wristbands for you to be able to grab some drinks, grab some food, courtesy of Bud Light. Also, an air hockey game right there that somebody could win. So four different giveaways. All you got to do when you come in, or if you're in the building, sign your name and put it in our raffle box, and you will have a chance to win any of those potential prizes. So a lot to get to coming up here at around 2:30. We're expecting we will hear from a guy who was Clint's stock up, a guy who was Clint's player of the game, John Metchie. Wide receiver John Metchie, who had himself a big game, his biggest performance of the season, 5 catches, 70-plus yards, and a touchdown. He will join us coming off the practice field at 2:30. We're looking to do that, so make sure you stay tuned with us on that. I do want to get to a couple of things, Clint, and just the injuries. When we get the injury list coming up here soon, we will give you the more definite news on that. But running back Damian Pierce, who had missed the last couple of games with that groin, he returned to practice, Clint, not practicing today. And these are the ones that you're really looking at. Will Anderson Jr., who missed the last game with that ankle, he is not practicing today. Kamari Lassiter is in concussion protocol. He is not practicing today. Derek Stingley did not practice today, Clint, but reports from Aaron Wilson is it's nothing serious with Derek Stingley. He is on track to play against the Cowboys. Be interesting to see if he is on the injury report, if he just gets an old rest or whatever, but he did not practice today, but reports nothing serious. And then Nico Collins is practicing and on track to return to play against the Cowboys after missing the last 5 games. So Damian Pierce back on the practice field. Nico Collins continuing to practice off of last Friday. But the big ones there, three defensive starters and two of your best defensive players, you could argue, on the field, and Stingley and Will Anderson did practice today.
Yeah, I think the beautiful thing here for me is last week, you know, you make the little adjustment at guard center. It seems like it works out, at least for 1 week, in better fashion. It gives you a little hope moving forward that you're going to be better on the offensive line. John Metchie in the absence of Nico Collins and Steph Diggs, he steps up and has a big day. And now this week, all of a sudden, you got Nico Collins coming back on the offensive side of the football, which is desperately needed for multiple reasons, as we've discussed at nauseum. And then Damian Pierce coming back may not sound like an impact move or a return, but I do think that him being the guy that spells Joe Mixon, you know, for the 3 or 4 carries that he's not in the ball game, I think that could potentially make a difference. I think you've got a different caliber back in him than obviously the other guys, and so starting to get these weapons back and some depth back offensively, along with some adjustments and some guys emerging, that's good for the Texans offense moving forward, man.
Yeah, it is. So
on the defensive front, Well, on the defensive front, I think the Kamari Lassiter thing is just is what it is. When it's a concussion, boy,
yeah, you
might as well just you as a fan, you might as well just shelve that guy for a week. And we're almost conditioned at this point to want that guy to be shelved for a week and take care of his
because I can't mentals. Think of, I can't think of anybody that's going into concussion protocol and didn't at least miss one. Like, especially, I mean, talk about for the Texans this year.
Yeah.
Right? Toa Toa missed.
Well, it's just rare, especially when they're standing on the sideline holding their head. That's for damn sure. So, the Kamari Lassiter thing is you know, I would doubt he plays at all. Will Anderson, I know I've struck out on this take about three times this year, but when it's an ankle, man, I just feel like they're more likely to return than what, like, Joe Mixon did with his ankle. It ends up costing him three or four games. And Derek Stingley Jr., I think Derek's been going hard for
maybe
a long time.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see.
He busted his ass in camp. He's a guy that ain't missed many snaps. And, you know, a guy that before this season was injury plagued. So you might want to start, you know, just thinking about the load management aspect of a guy that's gone that hard for this long. And got a lot of football left to play.
It'd be interesting to see if he even, you know, if it shows up with something. Because he's not been on the injury list all year. There hasn't been calf or, he's just not been on the list. All right, so that is the latest there injury-wise. We'll keep you updated on the latest when that comes about. All right, as I said, John Metchie coming up around 2:30 we'll carry that for you. And you'll be able to hear from him coming up next with us. But I think one of the big stories to come out of today is, and I know you two being lifelong Houstonians, and many of you out there, I'm curious your opinion. Those of you that are on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans, and those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well, you can jump in this conversation. But the Astrodome is set for a potential billion-dollar comeback with entertainment venues, hotels, and much more. They kind of the Chronicle kind of showed this, and they kind of laid out.
Is this potential or is this for real?
It's potential. It's potential. I don't think it's for real yet.
You tease me, man.
Yeah. They got to. You know, obviously they got to find $1 billion how to pay for it. But I am interested from the people, interested from you two. Because obviously there is some sentimental value with the Astrodome, and then there's some, like, dude, we got to do something. Like, we got to do something in this thing. But what's your thoughts? Because I've heard different people swaying back to. I heard Sean said, I'm a tear it down guy. I haven't heard Lopez today, but I would imagine from the Lopez that I know, he's closer to the tear it down guy. And many people excited, maybe going the other way. What's your feelings on kind of renovating the Astrodome and maybe potentially going at least with something like this?
The tear it down guys can kiss my ass.
Okay, all right.
I'm a fan. I sat in the Astrodome. I was an Astro buddy. I've been on the turf. I hoped like hell. Yeah, I hope you don't know what it is that you're young ass. You sit over and wait till I get done, kiddo. You know, in high school, you hope to get to a state championship to be able to play in a dome.
Is that where those were played?
Yeah, at one point. And you know, there's just a lot of history there. And when we're faced with okay, it's there, right? It's there right now. And I think you made a great point, Ron. The truth of the matter is, like, I went to Philly and watched the Army-Navy game. And I'm gonna tell you, that is a obviously the stadium, whatever, but the ability to walk out of that stadium and walk to, like, venues and huge open air sports entertainment type places, it's an unbelievable experience. It's great. Been in New England, the Patriots, same deal. They've got, I mean, it's just crazy what's all around those stadiums. And you look at NRG Stadium and there's nothing. I mean, there's, and no offense, but I mean, you leave the rodeo and you go to a hotel bar to have a good. Now, I mean, I've had a good time there too, but you,
what, like, hotel bar?
The one in the park. I can't even think of the name of the little small one, relatively speaking, across the parking lot. Right? It's just slam packed, and it's so, which was fun when you're 22 years old and you're chasing gals, but like right now, I ain't got no interest in going over there. You leave a game, you take your ass straight home, or you got to get on a train and a trolley or whatever the hell it's called and go.
No, you don't take your ass straight home. You sit in tons of traffic. Yeah.
So here's the deal. It's there, right? And because they haven't made a decision to this point, right now you have the option to somehow intertwine history and the history of the Dome and everything that it has, and upgrade it and give everybody the opportunity to do what all these other places have out there, whether it's hotels or concert venues or bars or restaurants, whatever. But you can do all that you want to do, and you can do it while embracing the history of one of the coolest things Houston had to offer back in the day. I think it's great.
All right, Tyler, you've been around. What's your thought? Are you team tear it down, or are you team do something with it like this project they're talking about?
Tear that POS to the ground, man. And I don't say that lightly. I agree with a lot of what Clint just said about what the Astrodome was. What it was. Right now, it is just a home for feral cats and disease. And this thing is an eyesore. It takes up, obviously, a massive amount of space. Leave the history of Houston in the history. Leave the past in the past, man. It's a big expenditure for something you don't even know is going to be successful, and you haven't done it to this point, so why now? Tear that thing down. Do something else with that space.
Multiple people texting in. I voted to tear it down. We voted to tear it down twice. It should already be gone. A lot of great high school games were played in the Dome. I'm all for renovating the Dome. Would love to see it happen, but if it's not going to happen, then tear it down and create more tailgate space, and because that thing's an absolute eyesore, coming from the text line. Listen, this is just my thing, right? NRG, that has to be one of the largest, if not the largest, people attraction in the city, right? Like, in terms of, hey, we can attract people. Like, we can have a lot of people in this space. Right, football.
I would say with football and rodeo.
Football, rodeo, concerts.
Alone, you don't, I mean, every other venue pales in comparison. Right.
But that's the place where you can gather. Like, in a city, it makes no sense to me to have your biggest place that attracts people and to not have anything around it to take advantage of potential revenue. that's the part to me. And like, yeah, if you're going to tear it down to make more tailgating spaces, to me, I mean, I get that. I don't walk out there and think you need more tailgating spaces. But if you renovated that thing we saw that casino they had downtown in Cleveland. Like, if you renovate, now I know that's not, gambling and it's not legal Texas. But, like, if you had that and had bars and restaurants and things that could bring revenue. One, it's jobs and it's revenue to the city. And people would go to games. Like Tyler, you said you're not sure if it'll work. I'm sorry. I think people would come out of rodeo or before rodeo, go to games before or after, and they would go into these bars. If this was another, like, the Heights, you could put the Heights, you could put all of those entertainment districts all together inside of it. That place would bring in revenue and money and would be jumping, and it would just make sense because you got thousands of people coming out of a place to then go somewhere and spend money. Like you do, like Minute Maid. I'm sure all Minute Maid and Toyota Center, all of the businesses around it have gained so much because it's right there and people come out and they're going to spend money.
Well, the reality of it is even if they tear it down, they're going to spend $1 billion building stuff back in there.
Yeah, so you're going to spend money tearing it down.
It's not the money. Like, to me, it's like there's going to be significant dollars spent building whatever the hell they build there, unless they did just make it a parking lot, which now we're back to the same thing of go to a game and go home. Go to a concert, go home. Like, there's not, like, you're not offering the same things that other big cities offer around their football stadiums. And to me, that would be silly. I agree. Like, my thought on it, to be honest with you, is not like a renovation of the Dome. Like, the Dome in some kind of open air, like just the Dome with some kind of open air mall, venue, restaurant area where you could walk under. That's just the visual of a piece of the Dome still being there is all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about renovating the the seats and the sides and the, you know, everything that's.
I got two of the seats in my man cave.
Look at this guy.
No, I'm just saying, but like Tyler, if you went to a game, tell me, if you went to a game or a rodeo concert and it was casinos and it was restaurants and bars, you and Megan wouldn't find your way over there afterwards.
Oh, no, I'm not saying. I'm sure it's possible that that would definitely go down.
I'm sure
but
it's possible. Like, I'm just saying, like, it's like, to me, in Kansas City, it's the dumbest thing. The Chiefs and the Royal Stadiums are in the same plot. The only thing around it is a Denny's and gas stations.
It's the same way it is in Green Bay, Lambeau. There's literally a couple of small bars.
I mean, but at least there's a bar. Literally, there's a Denny's and a gas station.
Oh yeah.
there is Fellowship of Christian Athletes, a Denny's, and a gas station.
I bet that Denny's is the top grossing Denny's in America.
I'm sorry, there's a Drury Inn as well. That is what they have. And yes, there's a jumping Taco Bell inside one of those gas stations. It's the silliest thing in the world to me. Yep. When you walk out of Minute Maid, I mean, you could see, like, Ito is jumping. Like, you could see everybody falling into those spots pre- and post-game. Like, to have that, it is crazy. And, yes, and I see people saying this. Yes, I understand it will take tax dollars to pay this. I understand that portion of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, let's not get into where our tax dollars are going.
But I'm just saying, I understand it will take that. And to me, like, down the line, like I said, it's jobs and revenue that thing would bring in something. Like, if you're going to, like, to me, tearing it down, that's fine. If you go tear it down, to me, you just, there needs to be something entertainment-wise around NRG for people to go to afterwards. And the reason why this makes sense is you got to spend money to tear it down, and then you got to spend money to build something in it. I mean, why don't you just do it?
I think it would be so beautiful.
It would. It would be a beaut. Someone texted in, Cameron on YouTube and Twitch agree with Clint, create an entertainment district.
Figure out a way to literally keep the dome and then just blow the guts out of it and do whatever you want with it.
But why, going back just a little bit, why have we had this vote for the people of Harris County two different times with it voting to be knocked the hell down? Why are we even voting if that just gets nixed at the end of the day?
Yeah, I don't understand that part. That's stupid. I think I think what was it, condemned in 2009? I don't understand why nothing has been done with it. Like, when's the last time it was used with Katrina?
Hurricane Katrina, yeah.
I don't understand why nothing has been done with it. Yeah. I think that's strange and odd, but the big factor is, to me, when they brought the ideas, it is just really odd that there isn't an entertainment district created around the biggest draw of people in the city. it's just crazy to me. All right, coming up, we look forward to hear from John Metchie, as he will join the show around 2:30. So we'll have that for you right here. Coming up next, as we're live here, Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Plaza. Come on out. Got a chance to win multiple prizes, including tickets to the Texans-Titans game. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Got to sign your name, put it in the raffle box. You'll have a chance to win. All of that as we continue live right here on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. As it is a thirsty Thursday, it is yet early, but we'll be here till 6 o'clock, and get on out here, have yourself a chance to win. We'll start hooking people up with some prizes in the 3 o'clock hour. And I think we have made this fair. If you are here and you continue to be here, like our friends from Scotland, if they're here and every hour, I think it's cool you put your name back in again. I don't mind. Give yourself a little extra chance. Maybe that 5 o'clock hour. No. I think that's
more than fair.
Now don't come in here. Now listen to me. Don't come in here at 5:07 and put seven of your names in there. That ain't working. But you, I say every hour. Go ahead and throw a new one in. Throw a new one in.
3 o'clock. We've got our eyes on the people in the building.
We see.
And at 3 o'clock, we can ring the bell.
That's right. Yeah, we can do that. So come on out. Have a good time. Again, we are at Buffalo Wild Wings Thirsty Thursday. Willowbrook Plaza. Come on out and hang out with us. Hopefully here in a couple of minutes, we'll hear from John Metchie, the wide receiver. Kind of a breakout game, at least for this season. But it looks like Clint Nico Collins is going to return. How do you sense that changes things for John Metchie? Do you sense that changes things for John Metchie? Because last week, obviously, he came in and hell, there's an argument, like there's Tank Dell, and then there's, hey, whoever's hot that day is the, you know, the next receiver there between Hutchinson and him and Robert Woods. We saw him break out, and I know many people are excited to see him get more opportunities, as you said it yesterday. Do you think his role changes now that Nico comes back?
No, look, I don't think we've seen a John Metchie, with the exception of the New York Giants preseason game, I don't know if we've seen a John Metchie that was ever made a priority. You know, you even look at last week, I think going into that game, obviously Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz were priority. Obviously, you know, I think Xavier Hutchinson was made a priority there as well. Robert Woods was probably made a little bit of a priority there in the screen game, more so than John Metchie. So I don't know that John Metchie, we've ever seen him made a priority in a game and given as many or more opportunities as any other receiver out there. So I think it's more of the same for John Metchie. I think Nico returns, and he clearly is the lead horse and gets all of the attention, and then everybody else plays off of him. And obviously the one playing off of him initially is Tank Dell, and I do the one thing that's different about John Metchie, and most, I would say, guys that were buried in the fifth or sixth spot on a depth chart in a wide receiver room, the one thing that is different is, and I didn't understand it at the time, didn't like it at the time, to be completely honest with you, but him getting so much run with the ones in training camp and with C.J. Stroud in training camp is paying off in these types of scenarios. You know, it paid off last week to the tune of allowing your offense to get in field goal range with a chance to take the lead at the very end of the game. John Metchie caught a critical slant on that play and had several catches on that drive, throughout the game. So, you know, the fact I didn't understand it, didn't like it then, but sure enough, love it now that he's going to be in the mix and he's going to be getting reps and he's going to be in that huddle with C.J. Stroud. They clearly have a chemistry, and on and off the field, and I think that is going to end up benefiting the Texans.
Yeah.
So, no, to answer your question, I don't think his role changes. I still think he's a three. I think he's a guy that, you know, when they roll coverage to Nico or when they take Tank Dell out of the game in some of the boot stuff, then you're going to have him.
He should have. He should have better opportunities potentially.
Sure.
If they view him to be the one on the field. It's hard to believe, as we sit here and we await John Metchie, who should join us here any minute, it's hard to believe coming off of that game that he, unless you know, Robert Woods and Xavier Hutchinson has had some hellacious practice week, it's hard to believe that he probably isn't the one that gets a lot of those opportunities to fill that void of that third spot that you're talking about coming off the game.
Well, here's the thing is going into last week, I would have been hesitant to say that John Metchie was ready and above Hutch or Woods. After that game, and you see some things.
Yeah, clearly.
Now it's like, well, he's jumped up on the depth chart a little bit.
Well, he's not only jumped up on the
depth or the jet.
Not only has he jumped up on the depth chart, let me try to be clever, he's jumped up on the phone line as well. As we are happy to be joined by John Metchie, wide receiver of the Houston Texans. Hey, man, appreciate you taking the time to come on with us.
No problem. Appreciate y'all for having me.
All right. Listen, man, we hear from the fans a lot, and they text in and call in and talk to us about things. And I just kind of want to get from you, man. I think a big talking point this week is the second halves. And from your vantage point, what is happening in the second halves? And it seems the offense seems to struggle, especially to put points on the board.
I think it's just execution. I think the more we talk about it, the more we make it a thing. Like, football is four quarters. The first half is just as important as the second half. There's four quarters to play, not just, because if we talk about the second half so much, we're going to start the game thinking about the second half, where we got to be where our feet are and just be one play at a time. And I think that's what the most important thing is. How can we just really dial into playing one play at a time and execution, regardless of if it's the first play of the game or the first play of the second half or the first play of the fourth quarter or the first play of overtime, you know, just one play at a time.
Well, whether we're talking about one play at a time or we're talking about first half versus the second half, Metch, at the end of the day, getting Nico Collins back makes it it changes the game regardless of what play it is. So just your from that receiver room that you're in with him. Look, we all know he's a great player. We all know that y'all are tight in that room. But just from a football perspective, you've been around a lot of greats. You played with some good ones at Alabama. You've obviously played here with some good ones. Getting him back. It just as the offense goes, you know, what does that bring to the table, and is there a little bit different pep in the step getting 12 back?
Absolutely. It's exciting to have him back, and it's great having him back. Of course, everybody knows what he can do, and it definitely changes the dynamic out there for sure, especially for a defense. You know, we all know what he can do and the explosiveness he has on the offense and kind of just that fear factor it brings to a defense, not just worrying about what the offense has, but now that he's back and healthy and is going to continue hitting the ground running. It's just, it's kind of that. It changes the dynamic for the defense and how they've schemed us in the last couple of weeks for sure.
John Metchie joining us, wide receiver of the Houston Texans. John, things seemed to really open up for you last week as you led the team in receiving yards and got that touchdown in the, which was a really tough catch at the end of the half. What specifically did you see open up for you that kind of led to that type of an out, you know, that type of an outburst in that game compared to what things happened before in previous games? What happened for you in that game that kind of had that breakout?
I think we were just getting a lot of looks, and I was just getting to the spots, especially with the defense they were running. I don't think, like, anything particularly changed as far as my mindset when it comes to going out there and getting open on routes and stuff. I think it was all of that was the same prep. The way I played the game was the same on getting open, and it was just the ball was finding you. You know, the ball, the football, and the quarterback's always going to find the open man, and the ball's always going to get to who it's supposed to get to. And I just think that game, particular in the spots I was in, the ball was just finding me in the coverages that they were running.
Well, Mitch, what's the vibe in the building knowing that you guys are playing the Cowboys? And look, it's. Forget about what the Cowboys are up to right now with their struggles. And look, I mean, we've got our own problems here in Houston to worry about. But something about that Texas on Texas, Houston versus Dallas, that dynamic has to bring a little bit more juice to the room leading up to the game. Is that your sense in prep for the Cowboys?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like in college, you know, when you play that team up the street and or that team in the same state or whatever it may be. But I don't think we, especially as the room, we don't feed into too much of that speculation. I'm sure it's real and it's going on, but all that speculation. And it's really just that, like, this game is the most important game, and that's how you really approach a week. And I think that's the mark of a successful team, is when they can approach each week like it's the most important game of the season. And it kind of goes back to that one play at a time mentality, is that one game at a time. So right now, like, all of our attention and efforts and everything just has to be focused on Dallas, like, because that's all we're worried about this week, you know.
All right, John, we appreciate you hanging with us. Speaking of the Cowboys, it's no secret they have had some struggles on defense this year, and coming off a game where Philadelphia had some good success offensively. What are you seeing, and what are you guys seeing as in terms of on field, what can be a difference for you guys to have some success this week against that defense?
Absolutely. I think, you know, Philly did what they did against them, but, like, of course, Dallas, like any other team, is going to watch the tape and try and fix a lot of those things that teams had success on, and it's our job to watch the tape and see what teams had success on and how we can kind of try and get the same look and get the same advantages. But instead of dialing into them too much, I think it's more about dialing into us. You know, like you said, we have Nico back and we have the team and our dynamic. So it's really just doing us well and playing our game right and making sure that our game is smooth. Of course, we know the scheme we're going up against, and whatever injuries they have, I'm sure they have the same mindset as next man up, because somebody has to be out there playing. So we can't really get too caught up in the personnel. It's just your job to win when the game comes. But I think it's really just doing what we do well is kind of a big focus for us.
Mitch, I brought this up to my fellow radio guys here a couple times, and they've told me I was crazy. But I got to ask you, man, because every time I hear you speak, I hear the voice of one individual.
Oh, my God.
I hear Jay-Z. Have you ever been told that
Sean Carter?
Yes, we've had this conversation before. Don't act like you don't know who the hell I'm talking about. Mitch, have you ever been told that your tone and your pacing and you sound like Jay-Z?
Nah, I'm not gonna lie. I never heard that one. I'll take it as a compliment, though, for sure.
Well, I'm a big Jay-Z fan, so it's definitely a compliment.
I'm a Jay-Z fan too. I'll take it as a compliment for sure. Appreciate you.
But Jay in an interview setting is y'all are very, very similar, bro.
I had never thought that one day in my life.
I might pull up an interview online.
Pull it up. Hey, pull it up, Mitch, and let my man know over here. He ain't gonna take the time to figure it out. He's just gonna rag on me a little bit.
I'm just saying I never heard it. This ain't nobody ever told Mitch.
I'm telling you, man.
Don't believe you. You need more people.
I don't hear that. I don't hear that. Mitch, no disrespect.
Not when he's rapping. Not when he's rapping.
Just when he's talking.
When he's talking. Cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah, I don't hear that. I don't hear that. Not at all. Hey.
We had you, Mitch. I was one of the guys that had you last week in Sunday Night Football in the post game, man. And the whole time I'm thinking,
that's what you was thinking?
This dude sounds like Jay-Z in person, too.
I guess. Hey,
man.
Hey, before we get you out of here, man, which Alabama is this team? Are they the team that played LSU, or are they the team that seemed to have struggles against teams like South Carolina and Vanderbilt? I don't know what to make of your Alabama Crimson Tide.
Man, I know they're the Alabama that played LSU and win them tough games, because that's what the standard is, you know. The standard is to win a game however you need to win a game and to be dominant. I think all the other things in other games is just little hiccups along the way. You know, every new team has its journey and story. And, of course, it's the coach's first time. So it's like that's such a big thing. It would be – the expectations wouldn't be as high as other programs, you know, if they lost a couple. But at Alabama, they're still figuring it out, and it's just kind of their little hiccups for their story. I'm sure they're still going to write a great story this season.
All right, Hove, we appreciate you, man, and good luck this weekend.
Well done.
And get a dub against the Cowboys.
Appreciate you, no doubt.
All right, that's John, Sean Carter.
We don't believe you need more people.
Yeah, I think he just threw up, as he's right, man. I think he just threw up the diamond right there. I think he put it up. I wanted our audience to be able to understand it. I think that they would have more understood diamond than rock. I think many in our audience would have understood that. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, do you hear Jay-Z? Do you hear Jay-Z? Tommy on YouTube and Twitch says, "Dang, it's close." Jay-Z is a little bit more. A little bit more nasal in his voice is what they said.
I'll take the close.
You take the close.
I didn't say it was Jay-Z. I just said there's certain words that he says that I would damn near. Where's he from? He ain't from Brooklyn, is he?
No, I don't think so. I'm not sure where he's from. I don't have it. It doesn't sound like he's from the South, but I don't know where he's from. All right, we'll
Canada.
Return. That's right. He is a Canadian. I remember. That's right. Yeah, that is right. Ottawa. That's right. All right. Coming up here in a bit as we return with the drive. A little note from the Houston Astros. We'll tell you about coming up here on the way back. And the most important man in the building at NRG. We'll discuss.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's that coming up next.
We don't believe you. You need more people.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Much thanks to John Metchie, who joined us, or some of you may know him as apparently Jay-Z, has joined us. Appreciate him rolling with us. If you missed that, you can use that Odyssey Rewind feature. It'll be on the podcast page coming up soon. Media alert. There's an alert here for the people, and we will obviously will let you know that information, and I'm sure it will be known on Payne and Pendergast Monday morning. But the Houston Astros to hold a press conference regarding, as it says, significant business announcement on November 18th, which is Monday, set for 9:30. We'll let you know what that is. Any guesses?
It feels huge. I have no idea.
I don't either. I hate to speculate. Maybe it's some sort of a change. It says business, significant business announcement. So, I don't know.
Maybe it has to do with that. This is purely a guess, but maybe it has to do with it could be the name change. I remember that story about Minute Maid, but it also could be. I know they're really starting to move forward on that whole area down there around Minute Maid Park with all the restaurants and bars and all that.
Capitalize on it. That's what we're trying to make. Yeah. Astrodome. Too bad, that might be it.
The Dome's not next door.
I thought that was already a go. Is that not a go?
It's a go. I just wonder if it has maybe something in regards to that. I don't know.
Well, maybe when they announce when they're going to break ground or something. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah, they did say at the field at Minute Maid.
They need to go ahead and get them new unis out so people can start buying that merch.
That better not be the significant business.
That might be it. That could be it.
It's got to be bigger than that. They could have ran that on Twitter.
Would they have called that business, though? I mean, it is because of the money they get.
They'd have run it on Twitter.
I bet you it's the renaming of the...
Maybe Scarface is there leading it. They put something out with Scarface not too long ago, just as a little deal. Maybe
a teaser.
Maybe he's gonna be out there leading the thing. So we'll keep an eye on that. All right, Clint. Gerard Johnson to you feels like a very, very important person. I'm sorry, Gerard Johnson. We'll get to Gerard Johnson being very important person here.
We talk about Gerard
coming up, but no, we will. But tonight, a little Thursday night football, real quick before we get to Gerard Johnson's coming up in the next segment. But Thursday night football between the Commanders and Eagles tonight. This is a big game. This will be for the top of the NFC East. Clint, I know a lot of people, and I know like you believe the Lions are the top team in the NFC. Man, don't sleep on these Eagles. These Eagles, they are super, super talented, and they got a top five defense somehow. And their offense is starting to come together even more. I think they got a top 10 offense. The Eagles might be a lot closer to the Lions. In fact, to me, I'm not so certain. I wouldn't pick the Eagles if they faced each other just because of the talent, completely healthy. The Eagles is a team to watch. I think people kind of dismiss them because they're quirky, weird coach. But they have been really, really good. Five in a row and played really good ball.
He said quirky, by the way.
What did it sound like?
Well, I don't know if you're talking about that old show. I didn't know which one you.
Quirky? What old show?
He said quirky. Look, I think the Eagles with Jalen Hurts, I would never count him out. And that's... Because I agree, the coach and the antics with the fans in the stands and all this kind of, I mean, he's a loose cannon, man. You never know what's going to come from him. But right before all that happened, there was obviously, well, I don't know, obvious, but there was rumored to be issues between Jalen Hurts and the head coach. Last year with the whole firing of the OC and the DC.
Yeah, they fell apart at the end last year.
The way that went down, I don't think it did the head coach any favors. But Jalen Hurts... Now, he's not capable of doing his damn self, but he damn near is. It doesn't take many other leaders in the room with him. He's one of those kind of dudes that can overcome a quirky, goofy, out-of-pocket, loose-cannon head coach and kind of stable the ship, if you will. He's the kind of dude that can do that. He's got that level of leadership intangible in him.
And they just got so much talent, Clint, to go along with that, man.
You know, you got to keep that big fella in the middle from Georgia. You got to keep him under wraps and make sure he stays in pocket. He's not out of pocket with the head coach.
By the way, that white corner, Cooper DeGene.
Cooper DeGene.
As soon as they put him in, he has been really, really good. Their secondary was awful last year.
Yeah.
So much better than this year. And they just got two dudes, man, and Saquon Barkley and Brown that can just – A.J. Brown, they can just take over at any moment, and it's not much you can do.
They've got a great skill set. They've got a quarterback when he's used right. It's nasty. It's hard to stop, and he's throwing it well enough to be effective.
He's got 22 total touchdowns and 5 interceptions right now.
And he's a machine in situational football. So I'm not ready to put him in the same category with them top handful of teams, but they're damn sure working their way there.
Yeah, so we'll see there. A big one tonight between the Commanders and the Eagles. You can watch that right here at Buffalo Wild Wings. They got TVs all over the place. All right, coming up, the most important man in the building for the Texans could be Jerod Johnson. We'll explain that coming up next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.